read to you from from Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. And in my Bible, it's entitled, Do Not Worry. Do not worry. So here we go. It says this, therefore, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love that Jesus is unbelievably radical. And, crikey, thank you, Lord. Stand there. Sometimes it's nice, I think, just to remember that how radical he is, and that we get to follow him. It's so easy sort of to be, just go through the motions at church, but to forget that when you read things like this, just how radical and how a little bit scary it is to follow Jesus, because he thinks so differently to how we think. I always remember that in Narnia, that kind of Aslan, how Aslan is so wild, you know, how C.S. Lewis depicts that he says that somewhere, I'm terrible at quotes, but that he's not safe. He's good. He's really good. C.S. Lewis says about Aslan, but he's not safe. And there's something really exciting about really this Christian faith, that actually we really do get to hang out with Jesus. We really do get to be friends with Jesus. We really do get to go on a journey with Jesus. But I just feel tonight, let's remind ourselves that he is not safe. He's radical. He is totally different to us. But he's chosen to be friends with us, just as we are. And he kind of begins to bring us step by step into this whole new world, this whole new way of living, this whole new way of thinking. And actually tonight, I think this whole thing about not worrying, this whole bit of teaching that Jesus tells, I would want to label it as repentance. Repent means to change your mind, to change the way that you think. And I think what Jesus is kind of bringing here is a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. I think worry, and this is in the context of money, and Jesus is talking about money and storing your treasure in heaven just before he talks about this. Kind of worry and thinking about tomorrow is so ingrained in our culture, in our world. It's part of so much of life. You know, have you got insurance? You know, have you got everything sorted for your, you know, when you retire? You know, this always thinking about tomorrow, always making sure you've got everything sorted, everything okay. Have we got enough money for this? Am I wearing the right clothes? Am I up to scratch with fashion? Worry can be such a massive part of our life because it's a massive part of our culture. I remember going away a couple of years ago on a retreat, and I'd never done it before, and I'm not sure if I'd do it again, but I spent 6 days in complete silence, pretty much complete silence. I thought at the time, before I did it, it'd be an amazing idea, but there were some times when I'm like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. I remember coming home, and a couple of guys were still at the pub. I came back on a Sunday, and people were still at the pub from church. And I remember, as I drew closer to the pub, the smile on my face just grew larger and literally larger and larger. I can remember it vividly because I knew that in just a few short moments, I'll be having human contact and like being able to talk. But what was amazing about that time was actually, it was a really cool time with God. And what I found, to my surprise, that when everything was stripped away, that I had a massive issue with anxiety and worry. Like, when everything else was stripped back, I could not believe, like, how worried I was about, you know, work, about life in general. Just all this suddenly came up. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it was there in the background. But when you strip everything away, it sort of was there. And that just was like, wow, God, how do we deal with this? How do we follow you in this world where you're calling us to simple trust? To simply trust in you. And I think there might be just a few keys for us in this. This is repentance. Jesus is calling us to repentance, not the type where we put on sackcloth and ashes and look really sad. Repentance is life-giving. It's changing our minds, coming in alignment with his thoughts, coming in alignment with heaven. And so here are just a few thoughts. What I love that Jesus starts by saying, I tell you, do not worry about life. And then he says this, look at the birds of the air. Isn't that nice? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. What was Jesus doing? I think so often in our world, we're rushing around. We are focused in so much. You know, what about our lives and all, I guess, the pressures that I guess we face. But Jesus is saying, just for a moment, look. Get your eyes off yourself and just look. Just stop for a moment. It's not easy, is it, often to do that when we're sort of going from one thing to the next. But Jesus says, look at the birds. Just look, just stop. You see, I'm becoming more and more convinced of that there's so much of God in the ordinary, so much divine in the everyday. There's so much of God in the everyday. And if we just for a moment stopped and looked, if we just, while we were maybe doing the dishes, look at the birds, or while we're driving to work, look at the trees. Maybe there's something of God in that moment for us. Maybe there's something of the Father's heart for us that would bring life. It is quite amazing. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go and buy anoraks and binoculars and become bird watchers. But there is something so powerful if you just stop and watch the birds and think, well, hang on a minute, these guys are totally cared for. These guys are totally provided for. They don't need to sow. They don't need to store stuff away. But they've got their food there. They've got their berries and their seeds. There's something so divine about that. If you stop and look, at these birds that you can just walk past, they're there and they're completely and utterly provided for. Same with the grass. Jesus says, look, stop, just for a moment, stop and look at the grass. Look at how the grass is clothed with the most amazing colours and beauty. And yet the grass is here today, gone tomorrow. There's something in nature that is speaking to us, the Father's heart. There's something all around us, in the very way that God created our world. He's speaking to us. He's speaking. And Jesus just says, why don't you look? Why don't we just stop for a moment and look at what he's saying? He's speaking to us. I put here, this may be because it was late at night, but I put, birds are on the ministry team. God wants to minister to us. God wants to reveal truth to us. Just through the things that are around us. There's something divine in the ordinary. So Jesus says, stop and look. And then he goes on to say, just look how these birds are provided for. And then he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? I think a massive part of our repentance, our changing of mind, our growing in following Jesus and thinking like him and experiencing life like him is understanding our value, is understanding how the Father sees us. If the Father is concerned about the sparrow, and Jesus says he is, then what value does he place on you? What value does he place on you? I think perhaps so often I struggle with this area because I haven't understood the value that the Father places on me. I haven't quite understood my sonship, my sonship. We need to understand our sonship, our daughtership, our inclusion, and the value that he has placed on us. Do we really believe that God will provide? Do we really trust? Do we believe that we're worth that? He totally says, yes, you are. And part of the journey is discovering who we are and what God has given us. Jesus goes on to say, do not worry. Do not say, what shall we eat tomorrow? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isn't that amazing? He knows that you need cornflakes. He knows that you need your clothes. He knows. If he knows that you need clothes, then he knows what's going on in your life. He knows how you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. Isn't that awesome that we have a God who knows? We have a God who knows. He knows what you need. Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is asking us to begin to just shift our thinking slightly onto his kingdom. And Jesus said that the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is within, he said. The kingdom's close. All the fullness, all the glory, all the joy, all the peace is close, is on the inside. The kingdom is within. And so, part of what I am learning, and I keep having to come back to this place, is who I am and what the kingdom is. And I just want to just touch on that slightly. So often I've felt that in the Christian life I am going after God, I'm going after attaining righteousness and holiness, and you know, one day I'll make it as an amazing Christian. And I guess I've preached a little bit about this before, but what I'm learning more and more is that actually, because of the cross, because of the gospel, God has given me all of those things. That I am full of his presence. That I am full of his righteousness. That it's not something that I am one day will attain. I won't one day be completely holy. But because of the cross, God has given me his holiness. So we can say with boldness that I am holy. I'm holy. Not because I've tried really hard, but because, as a good father, because of the cross, he has given me his holiness. I do not lack in that area, but he's given me his holiness. And now I get to unpack that. Now I get to enjoy that. It's the same with his righteousness. It's the same with his peace and joy. He's given me completely his love, completely his peace. He's not withholding any of that. I am a son. I am his child. He's given me all that I need. I love 2 Peter 1. He says, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. I lack nothing. It's a tiny shift in thinking. He has fully given us all that we need for life and godliness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're full of him. You're full of him. One of the most powerful moments of my year, last year, was at Boulder Gang. And I was praying for a young guy. And it was one of those moments. We get them sometimes at Boulder Gang, a New Wine conference, where it just feels like the Holy Spirit is, you know, a bomb has gone off in the room, and there's just an amazing sense of God's manifest presence. And I went up to this one guy, and I think we were kind of praying about kind of identity issues and things that we were struggling with, and I felt as clear as anything God say to me, just pray, just say over him, you are light in the Lord, which is, I think, from Ephesians. You are light from the Lord. And I just kept saying this, you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. And it was, for him, an amazingly powerful moment. And it kind of just jumped back on me. And then I just felt like the Lord say, now can you say that about yourself? Because that's what God thinks about me. But it's so often not what I think about me. I am light in the Lord. It's funny, isn't it? We're so used to being, I think, humble when we're not really. We put ourselves down. We say, I'm rubbish. I'm just so full of sin. And God doesn't see us like that because of Jesus. And he wants us to line up with what he thinks. I am light in the Lord. And so I began to try and say that. And I guess over the last month or so, I'd forgotten that. And so I'm coming back. I'm being reminded. But wow, does it make a difference? Wow, does it make a difference when we line up with what he says about us? Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His kingdom is within us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I don't know if that helps, but I guess we're on this journey of following a radical Jesus. And it looks to me as if he wants us to be free from the worry of this world. And I guess that's a journey we're on together, isn't it? But he says, look. Just stop, look. Understand my value for you, that you are much more valuable than the birds. Understand how valuable you are. Understand that I know what you need, and understand that the kingdom is within. Seek first that kingdom. Seek first my righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Shall we just stand?